perhaps one of the most beautiful and familiar chapters in the Bible. Those words are often read at weddings or anniversary celebrations. In fact, we had them read at our wedding by David's sister. The words have even been set to music, if you'd prefer it in song form. Yet this was never its original intent. Instead, Paul was actually writing a rebuke to this semi-dysfunctional church in Corinth that we've been looking at over the last few weeks as we consider our series and our theme of how the gospel changes everything. This is one of those scriptures that some of us would have heard many times. And so I thought perhaps by having it in two different versions that you might take something different from it as you heard it read. Because sometimes I think with familiar scriptures that we no longer think about what the words really mean. Before we continue on, let me just pray with us. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul, for the way that he loved, the way that he showed love, the way that he perhaps tried to pull the church in Corinth back into line. And Lord, as we look at these verses today, may we be challenged by what they say. May they speak to us deeply. And may we be people who continue to show your love in our words and actions, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, at the risk of being harshly judged, and I was hesitant on whether I would share some of this today, but anyway, a few weeks ago I was watching an old episode of Law & Order SVU. This is one of my go-to shows that I watch when I need to switch off, which some people think is a terrible thing, but it's like just switches off my brain. But don't judge me on that because it probably gets worse. Because while I was watching this old episode, which I think was on Amazon Prime Video, an ad came on that caught my attention. And the ad was for Bumble, which I quickly discovered was an online dating app or service. All is well, people. I didn't sign up. It's all fine. But I've thought a lot about this ad since then. So the first thing that caught my attention was this beautiful song that was the background. Some of you may not think it was beautiful, but I was really quite touched by the words. And the song's called Bless the Telephone, written before I was born. But it's this beautiful song about what you can do is you can actually pick up the telephone these days, you know, the young people text or whatever they do, Snapchat or WhatsApp or something, to tell, like to speak to someone. Perhaps to tell them that you're thinking of them or to tell them that you love them. So it fits very nicely with a dating app. But then it's actually the slogan of Bumble that has stuck with me that says, for the love of love. And to be honest, I've considered the depth of these words, probably not in the way that Bumble want me to consider them. But as a Christian living in a world that in many ways lacks love. In 1 John 4 verse 8, it says that God is love and all true love comes from him. So I started to think, because my brain sometimes goes in tangents, what if we as Christians lived and acted for the love of love? That is, letting every word, every action, everything we say and do be motivated by the heart and the love of God. Quite simple, because really that's what we're taught as Christians. But what if we actually did that? I was recently asked by someone, what even is love? And I know this person very well, and this may cause you to judge me even harsher than Bumble ads and Law & Order reruns, because I started to quote from the movie Moulin Rouge, and I said, Love is like oxygen. Love is a many splendid thing. Love lifts us up where we belong. Love makes us act like we are fools. A life without love is terrible. All you need is love. But actually, what we heard from the scripture, two different ways that it was said, is we heard rather that love is patient, love is kind, it doesn't envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonour others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. In this love chapter, as it is often called, the kind of love that Paul talks about is seen. It's experienced and it's demonstrated. And this perhaps is contrary to what culture tells us, the culture that we currently live in, that really honours personal feelings above almost anything and everything. In today's world, we do, not everybody, but many people do what they want, when they want, because they feel like it. And if we don't feel like it, we don't do it. But as we look at this passage, there is an absence on personal feelings. So what is this love and what does it look like when it is lived out in the church and in the wider world? Well, in the opening verses, Paul mentions a number of spiritual gifts. And this follows on from what Jonathan was sharing with us last week. And I should say that Jonathan is actually at the Divisional Men's Camp. I forgot to announce that earlier, but just a little ad in the middle here. So he has been leading some sessions there as well. So we know that's been a great weekend so far for the men around the division. But Jonathan shared with us last week, talked about chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and spiritual gifts and how we all fit together as the body of Christ. And so as Paul continues on with his writings, he actually speaks of the danger of these gifts that we all possess. And we do possess them in various ways and forms. And we're told quite clearly by the Apostle Paul that we can speak in whatever tongue that we are able. We can give all we have to the poor. We can prophesy and even have huge faith. But if our gifts are used without love, then it's a waste of time. He says, if I speak in tongues of men or angels, but I do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I am that good, and if I have faith that can move mountains, wouldn't that be amazing to have that much faith? But if I don't have love, I'm nothing. And if I give everything that I have to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast about what I've done. But if I do this without love, I gain nothing. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, Paul states very clearly that love builds others up. When talking about the right and wrong food to eat and the debate that was going on in that space within the church in Corinth, Paul states, now regarding your question about food that is being offered to idols, yes, we know that we all have knowledge about this issue. But while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. In preparation for today, I have read what I would call actually some quite difficult and harsh commentary on this passage of scripture. One writer said that God cannot use a loveless Christian for his glory, even if they are gifted even if they are able to understand and explain the deep things of God, even if they are knowledgeable. The absence of love causes us to offend others. Without love, we are nothing, and without love, we gain nothing. Or quite simply, without love, I say nothing, I am nothing, and I gain nothing. Strong words, but really, this is what Paul is saying to the church in Corinth, and I believe that this is still relevant for us. What are our motives for doing what we do? But after talking about the importance of love, Paul goes on to talk about how love behaves. Love is a word that can only be properly defined in terms of action, I think, of attitude, and of our behaviour. Paul has no room for abstract or hypothetical definitions. Instead, he wants us to know what love looks like when we see it. I'm sure each of you have met somebody in the world, in your day-to-day interactions, where you can look at them and say they are a person filled with love. What is it that helps us to recognise that? In the space of four short verses, Paul uses 15 phrases that we've already heard three times this morning. 15 phrases or words to describe what we love. We use the word love a lot, sometimes quite flippantly. We may love football, love chocolate, love our jobs, love pizza, love plants. Maybe that's only me. One of our sons ends every phone call, almost every conversation that he has with us by saying, "Love you." Does he mean it? I hope so. But we use the word a lot. Verse 4 begins by summarising the unselfish nature of how love should be. Here's the list on the screen. It's patient. It's kind. Does not envy or boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonour. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. That's a big one, isn't it? It does not delight in evil. But love rejoices in the truth, and it protects, and it trusts, and it hopes, and it perseveres. Now that's a list. But I can tell you that I do not have a clear and totally happy conscience after reading through these 15 expressions of love. But the good news is that while this list may not fully describe me or you, it does exactly describe God and his son Jesus, who he sent to earth. And in fact, if we go back through this list and substituted the word love for Jesus, all of these words would still be true. Jesus is kind. He is patient. He does not envy. Jesus did not boast. He's not proud. He does not dishonour. He's not self-seeking. He was not easily angered, although we did see him angry, but he wasn't easily angered. We know that Jesus does not keep records of wrongs. He certainly does not delight in evil. But he does rejoice in the truth, and he protects us and trusts, and he brings us hope, and he perseveres and sticks with us through everything. This love, this perfect love that is being described here, has its source in God because God is love. And as we look at what is required of love and our actions, it may seem that it perhaps is beyond our human reach, that this standard is almost impossible. And I would say, without wanting to discourage you, that it is. But I also want to say, to encourage you, that we have a far greater chance of succeeding in this area if we are in a relationship and abide with Jesus Christ. If he is in us, and if his love lives in us and through us. I believe that there is no other way that we can possibly love the way that Paul writes about, the way that God intended us to love, unless we are closely connected to Jesus. When you look at this list, you see that Paul uses a lot of verbs, action words, doing words, you might have called them when you're at school. A loving person will do and will not do certain things. And when you consider everything that we've heard and learnt about over recent weeks about the church in Corinth, Paul is highlighting that these qualities and actions should be priorities for every Christian in that city. But what about the Christians in the city of Parramatta? Or in the Salvation Army, Parramatta? Or what about Christians in the suburbs where you live? Even more than this, though, they're not just doing words. Paul uses the present tense all the way through these verses and through this list. Love is patient and kind. Love was not patient and kind 1, 4, or 10, 20 years ago. And so tick, I was loving and patient and kind back then. I'm done with that. Love continues to be protective and kind and hoping and trusting, and it continues to persevere. Love is never done. In the final 6 verses of this chapter, Paul highlights the temporary nature of the spiritual gifts that he talks about in the earlier chapters, and he compares this with the eternity of love, and he talks about the endlessness of love. He says that love never fails. There may be prophecies, they're going to stop. People who can speak in other tongues will be stilled. Perhaps our knowledge will pass away. But the 3 things that remain will be faith, hope, and love. And out of this 3, as many of you will have heard many, many, many times, the greatest of these is love. When Paul says love never fails, he means that it never ends. The Greek word here, my Greek is not very good, perhaps peptai, literally means falls or collapses. This love never falls or collapses under pressure. Trends come and go, people come and go, circumstances come and go, but the love of God continues through death into eternity. It never ends. For all of eternity, we will enjoy these attributes. We will experience God's incredible love. We will experience a deep love for God, and we will love one another with a perfect love. The greatest of these is love, for love covers not only what we experience in our relationships with others and God, but it is also what we experience from God himself. So, as I've been thinking about the Bumble slogan, I began to think that if we love for the love of love, that this could transform our ordinary lives into lives of continual worship. It reminds us that love is not a fleeting feeling, but instead it's a way of being and living that reflects God's character and the life of Jesus in this world. When we forgive, when we care for those who others do not see, when we speak truth in kindness and gentleness, we reflect the one who first loved us. And by doing this, we partner in the great work of love that began in creation when God created the world and was fulfilled when God sent his Son to this earth. Every word, every action, however small, can become a testimony and have eternal consequences if it is done in love. Your kingdom is simple, as simple as love. This song says that we're going to sing together. Is love simple? Not necessarily, but sometimes I think we overcomplicate it. Jesus welcomed people. He stopped for people. We want to engage with people and see people the way Jesus does. And we pray that he will continue to teach it to us. The song goes on and says, your kingdom is humble. May we die daily, our pride laid to rest. That's one of the characteristics of love that is listed in Paul's writings. May we love as Jesus loved.